Come to chapter 17 here, and it's all about this battle between David and Goliath. And obviously, we make a lot of comparisons to David fighting more of a spiritual battle than even a physical battle here. But I was looking over my notes from actually a few years back. I've taught this passage a number of times, and 5 years ago, it was one of the first things I taught here at Calvary Chapel, Ontario. And there were some really, really good reminders of what to do when we face spiritual attack. And so, if it sounds familiar tonight, it's because I'm stealing from myself. Typically I'll read over old notes and then formulate something new because I want something fresh for you guys. But, as I've just been attacked by the enemy, I saw these reminders and I was like, you know, this is really good stuff. This is good stuff that maybe is a reminder for the congregation as well as myself. And so let's pray and then we'll get into it. Father, we come before you tonight and we just ask that your word would penetrate our hearts and that you, O Lord, would lift our countenance if it needs to be lifted tonight, Lord. We know that it's not circumstances that bring us joy or encouragement, Lord, but it is you. And so we look to you to be our joy and our encouragement this evening. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Soko and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield-bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Here we see that the battle is before Israel. Literally on one side, they're on one hilltop. The Philistines are on the other hilltop, and every time they would begin to make the ascent to go fight the Philistines, it would eventually be an uphill battle, okay? More than this, the problem that they were facing was coated in 150 pounds of armor. Now, I don't know about you, when I was a young man, I'd go to the gym, and I could carry 100 pounds, but I wasn't going to use 100 pounds as a weapon. And yet, he had 150 pounds of armor, and this enemy was 9 or 10 feet tall, depending on your definition of a span. But my point is that this enemy was defiant, blasphemous, and insurmountable. And I would pose to you that oftentimes, just like Goliath, our problems in life can be just as insurmountable. And yet, Unlike physical giants, they are not physical. They're spiritual. They're spiritual battles that we come in contact to, and we must face them. We must do it properly, and yet sometimes we don't. If you look at everybody else other than David in this chapter, Saul, the Israelites, David's brother Eliab, you will see that they all face spiritual battles improperly. They have fear, they have doubts, they have their own reasonings. But if we reckon the problems in life to be spiritual, that is when the Lord will give us success. And this was truly a spiritual battle. You know, sometimes we look at this and we say, no, this was a physical battle. But it was truly a spiritual battle because in ancient times when two armies would come together, they would come in the name of their God. And so this wasn't the Israelites against the Philistines. This would be Jehovah against Dagon. And they would begin by shouting at each other and really bragging and saying, our God is bigger and greater and mightier than your God. The problem is whoever loses has the weaker God. And so this is not a matter of Israel being concerned with defeat on a physical level. I'm sure they were. But the bigger issue here is that God, Jehovah, would be humiliated or defamed. And so we see the enemy coming to the Israelites, wanting them to give up and to give in, and that is the exact same thing that he does with us. He comes, he says, I want you to give up and I want you to give in. And so I will remind you tonight that we serve a very mighty God, a God of angel armies, a God who faces spiritual giants head on and decimates them. And so regardless of the difficulty of our service, regardless of the difficulty of the path that God has us on, the enemy stands asking you to defame the Lord. But if you will put your trust in the Lord for salvation, not just salvation to heaven, but salvation for the problem, you can overcome depression, anxiety, failure, all unto the glory of God. And so though it looks insurmountable, it is not. And that's what we're going to see here. And we're going to see this in the person of David. Verse 12 tells us, David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand, morning and evening. And Jesse said to David, his son, take your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well, and bring some token from them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. Stop there. I want you to notice first and foremost here. When the spiritual battle began, it was when David was being faithful. He was being obedient to his earthly father and thus being obedient to the Lord. He was tending the sheep. He was running errands for his father, and yet in the midst of David's faithfulness, that's when he comes across the mighty problems. And I would say that sometimes we feel the same way. We're being faithful, and that's when the enemy attacks. That's when the enemy attacks. And I would ask, do you understand why this is the case? Why it's when you're being faithful that the enemy chooses to attack. The answer is because the whole world has been given over to the enemy. We see in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." And we need to recognize this, that as Christians, the world lies in the power of the evil one, and so in choosing to serve the Lord, we in a very real sense are choosing to rebel against the powers of the enemy, against the powers that have authority in this world. Now, before you give up hope, I want to remind you that Jesus is coming back. I was just talking to the young adults about this on Sunday night. I feel like during the Jesus revolution days of the 60s and 70s, there was a lot of people talking about Jesus coming back. And then we were in the 90s and the thousands, and Jesus was coming back. But in the last 10 or 20 years, we've kind of stopped talking about Jesus coming back. We say Jesus is coming back, but we certainly don't have the joy and comfort and expectation that that concept should produce in our hearts. It should be something that we're always talking about, that Jesus is coming back. He's going to resolve all things to himself. He is going to win, and that should encourage our hearts. That should encourage our hearts. But for the time, we are rebels in a wicked age. And so as we find our calling and are serving the Lord faithfully, the enemy comes along and he attacks. And I'll mention, I like what Pastor Mike said when he shared here a few weeks back, not everything bad in life is an attack of the devil. Sometimes it's just things falling apart or breaking or bad decisions or what have you. But he does send his spawns, his demons, to come along and discourage, because he doesn't want you to win. And so in the midst of our faithfulness, he throws in discouragement, and he wants you to stop. And as we're going to see, David gives us a great example here of how to overcome those difficulties. Verse 24, "All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, being Goliath, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his daughter's house free in Israel.' And David said to the men who stood by him, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him in the same way, 'So shall it be done to the man who kills him.'" The first quality that we see in David's life that helped him overcome the attacks of the enemy is that he had no regard for how other people were handling the situation. Did you see that? Everybody else is running away. Everybody else is freaking out. But David understood that this wasn't just an assault on him or his people. It was an assault on his God. And so instead of fleeing, David says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And in this we see that he truly recognized the spiritual component of the battle. While other people are fleeing and other people are considering other things, David says, no, our foe Goliath, though it looks as if it's a problem that is in our face physically, is truly coming up against the army of the living God. I don't know if you've ever considered yourself to be a part of the army of the living God, but this is the truth. As a rebel in a wicked age, you are part of the army of the living God. And so as Christians, we too need to be like David. We need to recognize the battle. We need to recognize God's call in the battle. And we need to recognize that sometimes we stand alone in the battle. Sometimes the people around us are not encouraging, or their advice is not accurate. But we're not to fear, because we are part of the armies of the living God. And so when that problem comes, we have to recognize. We have to recognize. This is the enemy. He's trying to stop what the Lord is doing in my life. He's trying to put an end to my faithfulness. And like David, we need to place a confidence that is unshakable in the living God, because we recognize that there's power in our God to destroy strongholds, to slaughter enemies. Do you recognize that, church? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, I'll put it on the screen. It says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Notice that the enemy that Paul speaks of in Ephesians and 2 Corinthians is the same enemy that David is up against. It's a great evil. It's defiant. And yet we have divine power capable of demolishing strongholds. If you think about demolishing anything for a second, you should be picturing bulldozing, flattening, crushing, razing to the ground. And so the question becomes, when we're facing spiritual attack, oppression from the enemy, whether it be anxiety or depression or spiritual or something going on that we can see, do we recognize that we have the power of God as part of his army to demolish strongholds, to tear them down? I think part of the problem is that we focus more on the problem than on the solution. We spend so much time looking at the giant, sizing him up, trying to figure out how much his armor weighs and how tall he is, instead of focusing on God, our solution. Notice David doesn't do this. He doesn't freak out. He doesn't go, Goliath is big, and he's really strong, and he's really tall. Instead, David, realizing the solution, aligns himself with the God of angel armies, recognizing his power is far above my own. His power is far above my own. And I can only access this power through prayer. That is the only way that strongholds come down. Verse 28, now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption, and I know the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not but a word? And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way, and the people answered him again as before. Here, David's brother Eliab is a great reminder to us that when we're in the midst of the spiritual battle, sometimes the people around us will not understand. They won't know what you're going through. They might pack on the discouragement. Notice that David doesn't defend himself. He doesn't try to correct the people that are mistaken. When he's in the midst of the spiritual battle, it's him, God, and the battle. And that's it. He doesn't give time for the things that we often give time for in the battle. It's just him, the Lord, and the battle. And so he turns away from Eliab and he continues to speak the same things around to the others around him. Our God has got this. Our God is mightier than our problem. And in this we see faith. David wasn't a man that was easily swayed. It didn't matter what the problem looked like or what other people said. David was sure of what his God was capable of. And that begs the question, do I know that my God is bigger than my problem? Verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated themselves before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." It's funny that even in the midst of discouragement and good logic on Saul's part, David chose to put his faith in his God because he understood that God had been preparing him for this fight. He had been allowing David to go through other challenges like fighting the lion and fighting the bear, that he would be prepared for this ultimate test. And again, this is an excellent reminder for when we face spiritual warfare. The longer we walk with God, the more we come to understand that he's preparing us through trials and difficulties, just like with David, that we would be prepared for the next difficulty and the next spiritual attack. And it may not be lions and bears, but the point remains the same. God is preparing you for the spiritual challenges that lie in front of you. You only have to be faithful and recognize that if God has been faithful to bring you this far, then he will surely be faithful to bring you through the current difficulty that you're facing. Verse 38, "Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them.' So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine." Here we see the advice of Saul: "You need to take my armor." But the armor of Saul didn't work. Why? Because David had never utilized them. He hadn't done battle with them. He hadn't faced trials with them. He hadn't tested them in trials. And in this we see that David exemplifies for us that when a trial comes, We will always grasp for what we've tested in previous trials. And if we've grabbed man's armor for previous trials, that is what we are going to go for. That is what we're going to grab when the next difficulty arises. If we grab faith, if we grab our relationship with the Lord, and that's what we're always grabbing, then when the next difficulty comes, that too is what we're going to grab. But we will always grab what we're used to taking with us through trials. And that's interesting, because we're no longer talking about swords or armor or stones. Some people, when they go through difficulties, they grab the bottle. That's what they use to get through the difficulty. Or they grab drugs. Or they grab sex or whatever it might be to get them through the thing. So the question becomes, what, when in the middle of the battle, what are we grabbing? What are we grabbing? Are we grabbing the world's armor? Are we grabbing coping mechanisms? Or are we grabbing what we have previously used to get through other trials? Which is an understanding that God is our real protector. God is our real protector. He has come through. He will come through. And that brings me to the question, in the middle of my battle, what am I grasping for? Verse 41. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." Here we see that in the midst of the battle, there will always come intimidation. The enemy will always try to speak toward weakness and fear, trying to convince you that you're nothing, that you don't have strength, you don't have what it takes to endure, you don't have the might. Who do you think you are? But notice, David doesn't even try to really rely on his own might. He doesn't rely on his own tactics. He hardly even responds to the accusation and intimidation. Instead, he simply says, "You come with a sword and a spear, I'm going to come with the God of the armies of Israel. And this won't be a contest, because my weapons aren't physical. They're divine. They're for demolishing spiritual attacks and strongholds." Do you recognize this, church? That your God fights for you. And that you can have a confidence that God cares and wants to be involved in the situation. Do we have this belief in the midst of trials that God cares and is involved and will win? Verse 48. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him. and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout, and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Shirim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Notice what's absent here. What's absent here in this passage is, and the siege was months long, and we lost many men, and it devastated our pocketbooks. That's not what it says. It was no contest. They wiped the Philistines out, and God very quickly was the victor. And so my question for us tonight is this: are we finding victory like David did in our own lives? Problems come and they become demolished quickly by the Lord. If not, maybe it's because we've been listening to the lies and discouragement of the enemy. Perhaps it's because we've been listening to bad advice from friends. Perhaps it's because we've been grasping for our own armor and our own solutions instead of grasping for God as our solution. It's really sad when we consider that God is so faithful and he has brought earthquakes to destroy armies for Israel. And he's caused confusion and blindness in enemy camps for Israel. And yet when the next battle comes and the next giant comes, they have forgotten God's previous faithfulness. And yet, I think we do the very same thing. God has been very, very faithful. He brings us through hardship and difficulty, but then the next one, it's like, God who? And it's like we're restarting all over again. But the God that we serve, I'll remind you, is not a weak God. And though the enemy has control of the world now, I want to remind you from John chapter 16, verse 33, that he tells us, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He has already done it. Which means that the calling might be difficult, the trial might be intense, but the God that's already carried you through the last things is certainly going to carry you through the difficulties that you are facing tonight. The chapter concludes by telling us this. As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. And the king said, inquire whose son the boy is. And as soon as David returned from striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? And David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. You guys might remember that last week in chapter 16 that David was brought on to sing in Saul's court. Whenever the evil spirit would come upon him, David would be brought in to lead worship. And so it seems strange then that here in chapter 17 we're reading that Saul didn't recognize him. Or that's what it seems at first. And there are several possible explanations here. Option one, some historians believe that there was a curtain between the minstrels and the king. And so they didn't yet have a personal relationship. Personally, I don't buy it, but it is an option. Option two, the evil spirit that was on Saul was so tormenting that he was essentially out of his mind. and therefore did not recognize David. Option three is that time had passed and David had grown since Saul had last seen him. And option four, which is the one I personally think, is that Saul is asking who David is, but he's essentially asking about his family. And I believe this because Saul has offered his daughter in marriage to the man that will kill the giant. And David has killed the giant, and so Saul is now going to have to marry his daughter to this guy. So who's this family? Who's the dad here? Who is this Jesse guy? And I think that that is the most reasonable. And I cover those verses so we can get them out of the way. But I want to go back to the simple concept of our spiritual warfare. How are you doing? Sometimes in the middle of it, it seems like it's never ending. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us to everything there's a season. And if there's a season of growing and stretching, then the next season will be a season of healing. And if there's a season of challenge and difficulty, then you can bet that God is going to bring you a season of peace. As I began tonight, I will end tonight by saying, personally, I feel that the enemy has been attacking me rather strongly. Again, I don't have anything to complain about in life. Nothing. Not a single thing is bad. Seriously, everything is great. And yet, I feel that the enemy is attacking me, attacking my mind. And I hope that if that sounds weird to you and you feel the need to run off to another church, that's cool. I'm just trying to be honest with you guys. I feel that the enemy has been attacking me this week, and I could use your prayer. And so I'll pray for you guys, and you pray for me as we close tonight. Father, we come before you, and we recognize that the world is not getting any holier. The world is not getting any better. It's getting darker. And it would seem that our ability to get through some of these battles wanes sometimes, Lord. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes it's not as clear-cut and victorious as David defeating Goliath. Sometimes we get to the other side and we're barely breathing. And yet we know and we trust in you, Jehovah God, the God of angel armies, the God that closed the mouths of lions for Daniel, the God that split the seas, the God that raises dead to life. Lord, I don't know what all my brothers and sisters in Christ are going through, Lord. But I just want to take a second and pray for them, Lord. Be near to them. You've offered us your spirit as a comforter. You've offered us prayer as a weapon to destroy strongholds. And so I pray that you would give them the faith to do just that. That week over week, as we'd be talking, there would be so many praise reports of how through prayer they saw this, the chains of sin broken, the chains of addiction broken, the chains of depression and anxiety and discouragement broken. Because they chose not to rely on their own armor, but on your armor, Lord. And Lord, as I'm even praying about this, what comes to mind is the church that we help in Githurai in Kenya, Lord. How the enemy, or how the government's trying to take their land unjustly. Lord, that's an attack. That's certainly a spiritual attack. Lord, would you be near to our brothers and sisters in Christ overseas? Lord, most of these things we can't fix. So we bring them to you, trusting that your right arm of salvation is strong enough. And you are mighty enough. Lord, give us the peace and give us the faith to leave these things now in your hands. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.